Salad. I don't remember what we're supposed to be talking about in Sadi Gimel because I haven't been thinking about that for a while. But I figure we should do our job. So the last thing we were in the middle of talking about was the Nekudas HaKasef. Remember, he was trying to argue that everybody holds of the Rashba, and that's because it's Mefurish in the Gemara. After all, there's no other way to explain the Gemara, as opposed to the Beis Yosef, who tried to show how everyone was against the Rashba. And one of the rayos that the Beis Yosef brought against the Rashba was from the Sefer HaTruma, that said that if you're Mevashel Isser, and then within 24 hours you cooked water, so we count Meis Leis from the time of the cooking of the water. Why? Because of Chanan. And if it were hetera bala, let's say I cooked fleishiks and then I cooked water, so then we would not count meis leis from bishul hamayim, rather from bishul of the fleishiks. So it's mutter after within 24 hours of the cooking of the fleishiks. So the Beis Yosef says, well, according to the Rashba, not only is it mutter b'di'eved, but as soon as you cook the water, l'chatchila, presumably, you can now go ahead and cook milchiks. In other words, the Sefer Truma's formulation was, it's mutter b'di'eved, if it's just within 24, if it's after 24 hours of cooking the first one. So that is, and if the Rashba is correct, it should say much bigger chiddush. So, once again, over here, the Shach is Doicha, tries to say that there's no Raya from the Sefer HaTruma. And he says, well, maybe over there it's Kli Cheres, and the Beis Yosef argued that the Rashba never said his Chiddush by Kli Cheres. Or he says, the Rashba was talking about where you were Mevashel Yirakos, Mamish Kashir Shebishlu Babasar. Not clear what that means. He says, when did the Rashba say that if you cook fleishiks and then you cook broccoli, then the pot becomes parev? That's when it's mamish kashir shebishlubo. So the later Rachmanim have a question, what exactly is meant by mamish? So the way I thought it meant, which is the Yad Yehuda's explanation, was the same height. In other words, if the pot was 65% cooked for fleishiks, then for it to become parev, you need to make sure that it's 65% cooked with broccoli. And the Sefer HaTruma is talking about a case where you cooked water, let's say, but only 50% full, and that's why it doesn't work. The Prima Gaddim says, which would limit the Rashba even further, that what the Shach means is the same duration of time. In other words, if you cooked fleishiks for 45 minutes and you cooked broccoli for a half hour, then it wouldn't work. It wouldn't become parev. And that's when the din of the Sefer HaTruma applies, namely that, well, it doesn't restart the clock. Anyway, the Taz also gives this type of answer. I'm not saying like the Ad Yehuda or the Prima Gaddim, but the same type of answer that this is the Tasif cotton base, that that you need it to be, for the Rashba to apply, that you need it to be mamish kashir shebishlo babasar. And finally, the third dechia that the Nekudas HaKasef has is that it's only if you're mevashel that it's kahagala, meaning to say it's mala resicha. And the Sefer HaTruma is talking about where it reached Yad Soledes, but it was not mala resicha. Now, if you took a look at the Beis Yosef in Simen Sadi Dalet, now that we're up to it, on the Sif Gimel, he disagrees. And he holds that according to the Rashba's Chiddush would apply even if the conditions for Haggalah are not met. Now, why would that be? Why would the Rashba be makel if the conditions for Haggalah aren't met? Very simple. Because the Rashba holds that the heter here isn't Alts Haggalah, the heter is Alts Maklish. Right? What's the raya? That it works when you have hetera bala, even if it's bala yideh ha'or. So if you wanted to actually kasher it, you would need to do libud. But because it's hetera bala, and it's maklish the iser, that's the whole chiddush of kol yom yom nasa gil chavero, so memela, That's what makes it parif. So the conditions for Hagalah aren't necessary. So even though for Hagalah you need Mala Resicha, possibly, that too isn't so simple, but even if you were to say that for Hagalah you would need Mala Resicha, for the Rashba's Chiddush, that's not necessary, because the whole Chiddush of the Rashba is that you don't need Hagalah here. And that's why the Beis Yosef really wanted to say that the Rashba's Chiddush would work even for Kli Cheres. He just says we can't really say that, because then there would be a Stira and a Tur. But that's the Mahalach of the Beis Yosef. Now, essentially, and just to explain, we'll explain this in a minute, but that's exactly what we pointed out last time, which is, remember, the Rashba compares this to Not Bar Not. Well, Pastor Hashem have a chance to study Not Bar Not B'Ion, but Ora Not Bar Not, the Chiddush of Not Bar Not, is that it's mutter even though there's Nisin Astam. Right? Otherwise, you don't need to come on to Not Bar Not. Even if it was Isser, it would be true. The Chiddush of Not Bar Not is that even though these Dagim Shalabak Arataka have some type of Fleshik Tam in them, still, it's working. You're allowed to put them with a Kutach. Why? Because, let's say, within the Rashba, since it's Tam Sheni, Shel Heter, the Tam is Niklash, and it can't create a new Chalos Isser with a Kalash Tam. In other words, even though the Tam is Nirgash, still, it's Mutter, right? Meaning to say the goal of Hagalah is very different than the goal here. The goal of Hagalah is to do what? To utterly remove the Blios from the walls of the pot. Okay, there are conditions for that. What are the conditions? You need Mal Resicha, for example. Whereas, what's the goal over here? The goal over here is not to remove the Blios. That's why it works even if it's something that needs Libun. What's the goal? It's to be Maklashit. Now, it seems that the Shach is saying that one way to sort of view the machlokas between the Shach and the Beis Yosef is that the Shach seems to see this as a shvacha hagala, right? So therefore, kim'at, all of the conditions for hagala are necessary. So he says that the Rashba would only apply if it's mala resicha. Why we have a klal in hagala, you need mala resicha. So mechatesi that this would apply. Now, obviously has to concede that it's not mamish hagala, right? Because it's going to work according to the Rashba for Kli Shetal and Libun, but it's kim'at hagala. Since you're right, it's not mamish hagala. We only need to be maklashit, but still, it's like a shvacha hagala. So ein l'chabal chidusho, and it's going to be as close to hagala as we could possibly make it. In other words, in a certain sense, he's making the sefer atuma. The Rashba much smaller chiddush. The Rashba is saying that to kasher something iser, so you need mamish hagala. To machshir heter, right? To turn something that's a milchik into parev, you don't need mamish hagala. You need hagala light. But hagala light is still very close to hagala.
What's the difference?
Well, the nafgamina he says is going to be with like it would work for kli shaton libun, right? Mashein kain. The Beis Yosef basically says no. Beis Yosef says the Rashba's Chiddush is actually a much bigger Chiddush, right? The Rashba's Chiddush is that this has nothing to do with Hagala. Hagala is relevant when you want to get rid of Isser. When you just want to be Maklish Tom such that it would prevent it from creating an Isser, so then this is something different. So even though we have a rule for Hagala that you need Mala Resicha, here you don't need Mala Resicha. And the like. Meaning to say that the Chiddush of the Rashba is much bigger Chiddush, according to the Beis Yosef, and in a certain sense, then not surprisingly, nobody holds of it. Whereas, again, this is sort of exaggerating to make the point, but according to the Shach, the Chiddush of the Rashba is a smaller Chiddush, and perhaps that's why there are more views that hold of it. If you look actually at the end of the Nekut Sekesef, he's Mesupik, if according to the Rashba, you need Hagalah Gemura, or not exactly Hagalah Gemura, and this would depend on whether you think that the Rashba agrees or disagrees with the Smak and Simin Sadi Dalid. But even then, it's only on this particular prat. Perhaps another manifestation of this is what we alluded to before, which is, according to the Rashba, are you allowed to do this L'chatchila? Right? Meaning to say, if I have a fleshik pot, could I cook broccoli in it and then cook milchiks in that same pot? So, if you hold, here it's sort of the opposite maybe, the Ba'ir Shulchan suggests the following. If you hold that it's more in the line of not bar not, like the Beis Yosef, so then we would say, just like you're not allowed to be garden not bar not l'chatchila, so too you shouldn't do this l'chatchila. Might a little depend on why you can't do not bar not l'chatchila, but you can make that case. But if you say like the Shach, that it's hagala light, so just like hagala you're allowed to do l'chatchila, maybe you're allowed to do this l'chatchila. Well, in the realm of kadshim, it would be mutter, but the question is for us. In other words, me'achar that we say you shouldn't be going not by not l'chatchila, what would you say? What would you say about this? Fine. But lemais, in the end of the day, I'll take your questions. The bottom line is that according to the Beis Yosef, we don't paskin like this Rashba, since in light of the Tur and Taisus and the Rush and Sefer Truma. And that's why it's not quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. And the Taz points out also the Marshals against the Rashba, and the Pre-Chadish and the Pre-Megadim are against the Rashba, whereas according to the Shach, no. Many Rishonim hold of the Rashba, and therefore we, Halach L'maisa, do paskin like the Rashba. L'chora. Yes?
According to the Shach, How is it not Hagala?
It's not Hagala, I told you, because you don't need all the conditions of Hagala.
Like what? And what's the Chiddush? What's the Chiddush of the Rashba according to the Shach?
Because you don't need all the Chiddush of Hagala, the conditions of Hagala.
Like,
for example, it works for Kli Shita and Liban.
That's not just what Kli?
A skewer, a frying pan. Let's say you go ahead and we'll talk about when we do Dine Hagala later on. Let's say you cook meat in your frying pan with no oil, minimal oil. So now you need Liban on that frying pan, quite possibly, right? But if you now cook broccoli in that frying pan, it's parv. But if instead of if it wasn't meat that you cooked in the frying pan originally, but it was a chazer, then Hagala wouldn't work. So there are differences.
Yeah, so the Rashba was talking about the initial thing was with
that's all kind of the Rashba. No, he's talking about Sli. But the point is that, I mean, in any case, again, what the parameters of the Rashba are, as we see, is a debate over here. But, yeah.
Also, it comes out there's no, I think Rabbi was basically saying that there's no point of Shach, there's no Chiddush of the Rashba because it's the Gemara. Even if you reject, as I think the Gemara does, like Rabba or Ashi at the end says that the Gemara accepts it's a Terebala. So at the end of the day, there's definitely an idea that Hagala works on a Klei Libun if it's a Terebala. It's Ravashi comes out that way. So there's no.
I think that the Beis Yosef. Well, okay. So that's a fair point. The question, the Beis Yosef, even if you said that, then the question is, just because Hagala works on a Klei Libun, doesn't mean Shvacha Hagala works on a Klei Shetan Hagala. Right? Let's say the Beis Yosef's version of the Rashba, right? So even if we accept, let's say, that Hagala works in a Klei Shetan Libun, if it's a Terebala, right? That's why, for example, even those that are very machmir for ovens, right? We talked about this earlier in the year, but we have a nafkamina now. So people that are very, the shitos that are very machmir for ovens, they say that ovens become milchiks. Even if you don't, let's say you hold like Rav Moshe, but it's liquid, right? So I went ahead, and now my oven is fleishiks, and I want to switch it to milchiks, right? So what do I need to do? So how do you kasher an oven that's treif? You buy a new house, the oven's treif. So many poskim say, what do you need? Liban gamor, right? Tashmish oideh or. And what happens if you can't do liban gamor? It's not a self-cleaning oven. Then get a blowtorch or throw out the oven. There's nothing you could do. You're stuck. Right? Double wrap everything. But they'll say that if you want to go from milchiks to fleishiks or fleishiks to milchiks, you don't need hagala gemura. You don't need liban gamar. You could do liban kal, which is more or less equivalent to hagala. Maybe slightly better, but basically hagala. Why? It's a teira bala, right? If you think there's a machlokas, I guess we'll talk about this when we do in June's month, because we need to push everything off till then, but there's a discussion whether chametz is it's isura bala or a teira bala, right? Big machlokas, rishonim. So if you hold that chametz is a teira bala, so you're right. Anything that needs libun, you could get away with hagala. Oh, but that doesn't necessarily mean you accept the chiddush of the Rashba. Certainly the Rashba is understood by the Beis Yosef. Because just because we say hagala works for a klishton libun, that doesn't mean that non-hagala works for klishton hagala.
No, but that's not, I'm saying for the way the Shach understands the Rashba.
Good, so that's my point. The way the Shach understands the Rashba, so almost everybody's going to have to agree to it. That's exactly my point. In other words, the Shach makes the Rashba a much smaller Chiddush, and therefore the Shach argues everybody agrees to the Rashba, whereas the Beis Yosef makes the Rashba a bigger Chiddush, and Mimela, very few people agree to the Rashba. Okay. Yes?
Just to understand the Kudus, I guess, is Mahalach. You start to say that, like, Tosos is talking about Daf of a Kachin, and the Rashba extends it to Kulin. Is that why he thinks that you need both answers by Kachin and Tosos and the Rashba, whereas the Rashba is saying only one?
It's not that you need both answers. Again, this goes back to the last time. They're answering two questions. One is the issue of being Mimayit Bisman, and two is how could this whole thing work? How could you do Hagala on something that needs Liban?
But I'm saying, according to Tosos, you don't necessarily...
Tosos does not address the Rashba's question. He's taking it for granted, according to the Shach, the Rashba's Chiddush. But there's a different problem, which is your Bimayit Mibachila, to which he is
What he means to say that Tosos is dafka by.
Yeah, it's
by
a new. It's a question that's only shaykh by kachim, namely, how could it be Mimayit Manachila?
So once you say Min Mino Batal.
That addresses the question.
Only by kachim, why that, don't we just say that? Yeah. And that answers everything. That's why there's no problem.
But clearly, that's not what the Gemara means. That's what the Shach is saying.
The only question is from the Lashon HaGemara.
The Gemara can't be just talking about Min Bimino Batil. Rove, because then you don't need to come on to Kol Yom Yom Nasad Yil L'Chavero. Just say it's Batal because it's Min Bimino, and it never could ask or anything.
I understand, but why? I understand the Gemara saying, but what's the?
So Tosos is asking,
why don't we just say Min Bimino Batal Kmo Deraisa?
Because we don't. We're not. We're Lo Kmo Deraisa Fri Sura Bala.
But the Gemara is talking about a terrible.
So that's why. That explains why there's no problem of being Mimayit Bisman Achila. But the whole idea of Heter Rabbala, like why should Heter Rabbala be relevant? It's only relevant within this whole idea of the Shach, that you're Maklish the Isser, you're Maklish the Tam, which prevents the Isser from being Chal. Why is Heter Rabbala important? Right? So that's what the Shach is saying, that the Rashba's Chiddush is, that Heter Rabbala is important because even though the Tam is still there, since it's Niklash, it can't be Chal. And that's an idea that Tosfos is taking for granted, because if you just have this idea of Minbino Batal or Lo Batal, then you don't need to come on to any of that. There's a chiluk between Heter Bala and Isur Bala.
But why can't we just say that answer?
Because it's wrong! It's not true!
But why is it not true?
We don't say Minbino Lo Batal for Isur Bala.
But it doesn't sound like he's saying it's by Isur, it sounds like he's saying it by Kachim.
No. Maybe it sounds that way, but it's wrong. That's not what it means according to the Rashi Shach.
So he's saying really, anytime you have a Heter Bala, You have two issues we have to deal with.
Okay, good. Okay, a couple of minor points quickly from Tzadi Beis, so then we can start the next siman.
Tzadi Gimel,
yeah. So, Blios Bitsonein in a Kli Cheres, the Ria Lavan. So, Beis Yosef quotes the Ria Lavan that says, Basar Shen is Bashal Bekadera Shalchalav. In other words, we have this kli, so since it's sava milavlawa, it's already been boleya so many times, so the fact that there was milk in this kli last night doesn't make a difference. It's already sava milavlawa, at least with respect to blios betzone, no more blios could come in. So the first question you have to figure out is, why would we have thought that it's going to be boleya betzone this time? In other words, let's say it wasn't sava milavlawa, right? So just because you had some milk in this klicheres overnight, that's not a reason for it to be boleya. So one possibility is we're talking about a case where it was the chalav was in it the me'es leis.
That same question that we dealt with back then, right? To be the exact same time or whatever.
No, that was a different issue. That was to be polite. There's another shaila which we're not talking about now. Back in Simon Klofei we discussed whether Kvisha could aser a kli. And the Isser Vehetter says it can, and Shachan Taz said, what are you talking about? By the time the Blios are Niflat, it's already no same time of Gan.
Whether it could aser a kli.
Whether the kli can aser Alide Kvisha. Isser Vehetter said yes, Shachan Taz said it made no sense, and we had a bunch of creative answers to Bimyash and Isser Vehetter, right, like the Magen Avraham and the like, that you were alluding to. That's a different issue. Everybody would agree, presumably, that a kli could be boleya something al yedei me'es leis, right? Al yedei kvisha, right? But this Ria Lavan doesn't say that the milk was in here for 24 hours. You could say, yeah, that's what he means. The milk was in here for 24 hours, yet since it's sava milavlo, it's already saturated with blios, there's no more room to be boleya the schalav, and the me'la, you're set. Maybe the Bach and the Levush hold this way. But the Taz says this is wrong. We'll talk more about this in a minute. He says, if it were true, then kavush is kemivushel. So just like by Bishel, we obviously don't hold a sava milavloa. Otherwise, kli cheres that are sava milavloa will never be able to be boleh mor iser. So too for kavush, which is kemivushel, we don't say that. So then what are we talking about? We're talking about where a case where the chalav was not in here for 24 hours, right? The chalav was in here overnight. What's overnight? In YU, it's like, 1 a.m. to 8 a.m. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. So that's only 7 hours. So how is the chalav going to get absorbed into the walls of this klicheres such that the only heter is this chiddush of savam elivlawa? So the answer is that the real lavan is based off of a gemara of Avodazara Lama Gimel on the base. The gemara over there says, Kasei Rav Asi Asar v'Rav Ashi Shari. The hilch, so Kasei, cups, we're talking here about using for Yai Nesach, wine glasses, but they didn't use glasses for wine in those days, they used a klicheres. So there's a debate. The hilchus apam rishona v'shnia asar shlishis mutter. So what's going on over there? So Rashi over there says, this means like this. Let's say the guy used these wine glasses for the first, this was the first time, or the second time the wine glasses were used. So then the wine glasses will become aser. Aidi de rekichi balai. That since they're new cheres wine glasses, so when they have barely been used, only once or twice, so they're still able to be boleya. But once these are already old wine glasses, if a guy drinks a cup of wine, and by drinking the wine, he's going to actually make the wine aser, but it's not going to aser your glasses. Why? Because they're basically already sava milavloa, and they can no longer accept any more blio shaliser. That's the way Rashi reads the Gemara. So Rashi here seems to be assuming that kli cheres are boleya betzone. If you recall back from last simon, we saw the Shach pointed out that this is actually the view of a number of Rishonim. Rashi understands that this Gemara is talking about kli cheres being boleya betzone. You give a guy a glass of wine, a cup of wine, and a new wine cup, so you not only, you've wrecked your wine cup, because now the kli cheres is boleya. But if it's an old wine cup, it's okay. Now, the truth is that even if we accept that reading of the Gemara, it's not clear that they're maflit betzonein, right? All we know from that Gemara is that they're boleya betzonein.
What are the
blios? Sorry? You did treif wine. When a guy, you give a guy, let's it's not yain mefushel, you give a guy a glass of wine, it becomes aser. So now it
turns the wine into
stam yainim.
But
So then the wine gets absorbed into the cup.
Meaning
okay.
just by just giving it to him.
It's yeah, Lios
Betonit. Now,
so what Rabbi is saying is Mistama, it's also Mafla Betonit, which is why the Gemara says that it's Aser to use these Kosos, because if you just said they're Bolei Betonit but not Mafla Betonit, then it would be no problem. That's the view of the Bach that the Taz quotes. And that's why, according to the Bach, this halacha is Bechamin. But anyway, but maybe you could say no. They're not maflet, which is why it's mutter to use after the third time. Anyway, this isn't so clear, but that seems to be what the view of the Taz is.
But that is actually.
What?
Well, the view of the Taz is that it's Bolei Betonin, but it's not.
That's
the Havamina of the real owner?
No, that's what the real owner holds.
Not
Bolei
Betonin.
It is Bolei Betonin, but it's not Mafla Betonin.
Because it's so unbelievable.
Right. Now, I'll call upon him. Maybe we don't paskin like this Riyal Lavan, right? Because, after all, the Riyal Lavan... So again, what is the basis of the Riyal Lavan? The basis of the Riyal Lavan is Blios, Betzonim, Bekli Cheres. So we already saw that many Rishonim, according to the Shach at least, reject that notion. So then we don't paskin like this Riyal Lavan. Now, how then would you explain the Gemara, though? L'chorah, the Riyal Lavan is a Mefurish Gemara that supports his theory. So if you take a look at Tosis over there in Avodah Zarah, he quotes that Rabbeinu Tam disagrees with Rashi and doesn't think that there's Blios Betonim Kli Cheres. And the sugya is a totally different meaning. It's when it says Shalosh Pa'amim there, it means you need Hadacha Shalosh Pa'amim to be Machshir the Kli after he drank it. It's a different point. And according to... and the Chavos Ya'ir says even if you hold of Rashi, that's only by Yayin Nesach, not by Shari Surin. And if you look at the Badi Ashulchan quotes over here, the Yad Yehuda, who quotes the Ramban and the Rashba and others, who say that this din is only said by Yayin, where there's Harifos, but Menastam, there aren't Blios Betzonin. So therefore, there's a lot of options not told to the Riyal Lavan. So Lenin Halacha, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't mention the view of the Riyal Lavan, doesn't seem to accept it, though the Shach, the Taz does seem to accept it. Okay.
It doesn't.
And now, and then, well, let's say, if we accept the Riyal Lavan, then we have a further question, which is how long does it take for the Blios to be Nivla Betzonin, right? So if you look, the Nekudas HaKasef over here in our Simen quotes the Maharshal, very a new shir we never heard of, Chatzim Eisleis, 12 hours, right? So assuming that the milk was not in this pot or cup overnight, as long as it was less than 12 hours, you're still good. And the Prima Gadim over here says, well, 1 hour. And the Pri Chadash says he thinks it's immediate because the Pashtos is, right, like that Gemara of Odazari, you pour them a glass of wine, nobody sits around for an hour with the wine in their glass. They're going to drink it right away. So, Feinschmeckers don't use Kli Cheres for their wine anyway. So, anyway, Lamaisa, the Nekudas HaKesef at the very least thinks that we don't paskin like this Riyal Lavan, we paskin that there's no Blios Betzonim. Now, another parenthetical point, if you do hold of this idea of Sava Milavloa, how long does it take? The Taz says 3 times, like the Riyal Lavan says, Rishon HaShniyah V'Shlishas. But the Prima Gadim says that doesn't make any sense, because the Gemara says 2 times, right? It says Shlishi Mutter. And if you look at the Darkei Moshe is in Simon Kuflam at Hesef Katan Gimel, he quotes a Sefer Truma, that when it says Shlishi Mutter, it means if you used water the third time, which is, I guess, the way that Taz read it. Fine. And then again, we mentioned this Machlokas about if you do hold the Sava Milavloa, will that work for other things as well? right? So the Levush and the Bach all held that Tzavim Levo works even if you keep it in there for 24 hours, and the Taz says, no, it doesn't. Tzavim Levo is only with respect to Blios Bitzone in less than 24 hours. Okay, good. The last issue we're going to talk about in the Siman is the issue of pot covers. And there's two interesting discussions pertaining to pot covers in our Siman. Number one is in Sif Aleph, the Rama writes, V'din kisa gedera k'din gedera atzma, v'yish machmirim kisa gedera lomar dafal pish she'eno ben yomo, dino k'iluhu aya ben yomo, v'chein noagin b'ksas mekomos, v'chein ani noeg mipnei aminag v'hu chumra b'leitam. And the Darkei Moshe, he yells and screams about this. The source for this chumra is from the Hagosh Aridura, and he says it doesn't make any sense, and he thinks it's a minag tos, and it's a terrible thing because it's goyrem bitol memainim shal Yisrael. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chasal memonim shal Yisrael. Yet, after all that the yelling and screaming, he says that at least you have to be machmir b'makom shenagu. So why? Why? L'chora, what he means is that it's nesiaset al yidei gaonim, al yidei gedolim. And then he says a very interesting thing. He says, in other words, when you have a minag that's nesiaset al yidei gedolim, even if you think it's a minag tos, you still have to observe it. But then he says, ilu, that if they would listen to me, I would be mevatel the minag.
That's what it means.
What does it mean? What does he mean? In other words, if this is what Rabbi Willard calls a kula she'en atzibur yicholim lamod bo, that if I could get together, and I'll get together all the local rabbanim in Krakow or wherever it is, and we made a proclamation that this psak makes no sense, and it's wrong, and this is a minag tos, then there would be no need to follow it, because it is a minag tos. He's not saying it's not a minag tos. However, until that's done, a person has no right to be makel. However, he says, well, still, if there's another tzad lahakel, or it's a Shabbos, or whatever it is, then you could be makel. But without that, he is not willing to be makel. Now, is there any basis for this minhag? So the Rama, at least in the Darkei Moshe, doesn't seem to think that there's any basis. It simply is utterly without tam. However, the Achronim do bring a number of theories to explain the minhag. So the Bach writes that Kisui Kedera is different. Sharasicha ola sham tamid v'nidbak ma'od v'yashar lakancho m'melech hashak ilu yesh sham shamnunis be'en v'en zen nifkam v'me'es le'es. So the Taz says, I don't understand. Why is it nidbak yoser maybe Kedera gufa? In other words, there touches it, right? Okay, so that's rejected. The Shach quotes the Darkei Moshe, who says Zeyas Chamor Me Israel Yidei Tam. Yeah, Toras Chatas. Now, what does that mean? So the Badei Shulchan says an interesting theory. I'm trying to figure out what that meant. He says it means that the Zeya is the Tam Ha'ikari Shel HaMaicho. So it's not Nifkam Me'isleis. It's sort of like that rush by in Brachos. Anyway, that there's different Tams. I don't know what he meant, really. But maybe what he meant is that it's like Charif. That's Mashbiach. Like it's Zeya's. Somehow it takes this no same time of gam and this mashpiach.
It's not connected to any liquid or something that's going to rot. It's just a pure scent.
Well, it's a pure scent, but we need it to be mashbiach the bli. Oh, you're saying so? Therefore, never becomes pagum.
Yeah, right.
That could be pshat in the Bach also.
Yeah, it could be the pshat in the Bach. The Bach is not.
Yeah,
I don't know.
You're saying like where the coin is buried until it mixes with something?
No, 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 nothing to do with that. He's just saying.
Like, the reason why I like meat, let's say, why
it's like not meat? Tainted. It's pure. You
no,
know.
No, I'm saying it's not connected to anything that's gonna rot.
It's gonna like a room that you usually cook in is not gonna start smelling bad after 24 hours because the smell goes bad. What?
All right. Whatever that means. Fine. The Taz and the Shach, though, finally come up with something, the Marshal, who says we're talking about a conical-shaped pot cover, and as Shmuel pointed out, this is before the invention of bottle brushes, so you can't quite get to the top and clean it out. And therefore, there's Mamash Isser Be'en. Now, there's another kasha, as Rabbi Kibager points out, which is okay, but that's just a tiny amount. And we suggest that's Ricky Baker's caution. As we explained, maybe you could be Miyashe based off of Ricky Baker's understanding and the Shach's understanding of what Isser Davuk is. Fine. So that we could use that. The next interesting pot cover halacha brought here is a discussion in the Ramah about what's the din where the pot cover is hot and it's placed onto a cold pot. So, we should say tasagavar, but there's still a problem because ademekar balapurta. So, he quotes over here, machlokas, between the Isser V'Heter, who is Mekel, and the Hago Sharidur, I think. And the Rama himself, paskins a very interesting pshara. He says, well, with respect to the pot, we're going to be Mekel and the pot cover. But with respect to the food, you'll need a klipa. So what is going on here? So what's the problem? So let's assume that we're talking about a case where it's the drop, that the pot cover is hot, and the drop, let's say, that drips from the pot cover is also hot, right? Because if it was cold, then everybody would assume that there's no blios, so it must be that it is hot. It must be that it's Yatzel Adispo. Well, so then I don't understand why the Rama is being Mako. First of all, at least if you assume like the Shach, so even if it's Yerush HaNifzak HaKiluach, Yerush HaNifzak HaKiluach should Aser HaKlipa, and Kol Shekein, as the Shach points out, at the place of Chibor, meaning to say the point of contact between the pot cover and the pot, it's not even Iroi Shenifsa Kaki Luach. So why would you assume that the pot doesn't at least absorb a klipa? So the Rama says, well, because it's cold. So there's really two ways to explain this Rama. It's not at all clear what he means. You could read it as saying it's Metzias cold. In other words, even though usually we're machmir for Iroi Shenifsa Kaki Luach, at least a klipa, but here we're only dealing with a drop, very small amount. Small amounts get cold very quickly, and therefore the reason why there's no blios is because it's cold. In which case, presumably the machmir view would also agree to that. And the Shach is just saying, you don't have to be choshish that it's hot, because lemaisa drops cool down very quickly, especially maybe drops that are just small drops that are formed from the condensation, and therefore they're just telling you a metzias point. And in which case, when the Shach is machmir, presumably the Shach is talking about where it's hot, and there's just a machlokas and metzias here. And the chiddush of the Rama isn't a halachic chiddush, it's really a Metzias point, which is you don't have to be choshish that the pot drops remained hot. And even in the point of contact, which is even more of a chiddush, because unless you assume that the Shach thinks, the Rama thinks that there's no moisture at the point of contact. But if you assume that there is moisture at the point of contact, then you have to say that, and still that it's connected to the top of the pot, it still cools down so quickly that it's less than Yatzel Ledesbo, and it's going to be mutter. Alternatively, you could try to say, no, the Rama is saying like an interesting halachic chiddush, which is that even if it's hot, it's because it's so small and cooling down so quickly or something like that, it has the halachic status of being tzonein, in which case it's a very big chiddush, and the view of the shach is much easier to understand. Something along those lines. It's an interesting direction to consider, but we're very much out of time, so we're not going to get into it. But then there's the end of the Rambam, who says, well, you have to be choshesh for a klipa into the food. So what's going on over there? In other words, if there's no klipa into the pot, why isn't there klipa into the food? So you could, again, you could be trying to be very creative and say, well, you know, the shach said that there's more absorption into food than into kelim. Remember, that was the shach by Maliga and the like. Alternatively, and I think this is probably the easier way to say it, that the klipa that's needed when it falls into the food, according to the Ramah, after all, it's tzonein, is simply because it's physically absorbed, right? Like, imagine you have a drop of rice, a drop of water, even if it's cold, it falls into the rice, it'll get absorbed, even if it's cold. But again, depending on how you read the Ramah, you could come up with some very interesting chidushim, but we're out of time, so we're not going to consider them. So now we have to turn to the main topic of today. Well, at least we're halfway done, which is Siman Tzadi Dalet. So just in terms of your preparing Siman Tzadi Dalet, skip Sif Hay for now. We're going to get back to it when we do Siman Tzadi Hay. If you have not, if you did it already, so then you'll get to see it twice. But we're not going to do Tzadi Sif Hay now. Okay, there's a very interesting discussion here in Taz Sif Katan Aleph. A lot to say about it, but I guess if we have time at the end, we'll get back to that. Instead, I'd like to focus on this idea of Cham Etzas or Cham Kula, which we've already seen a couple times, and like to consider it. So the Torah over here quotes a halacha that, let's say you dip a milchik spoon into a fleshik pot. So, obviously, we're choshesh that you have to be mishar keneged the volume of the spoon that was actually submerged into the food. But then he quotes that Rabbeinu Peretz says you actually need shishim keneged the entire volume of the spoon, not just the part of the spoon that was submerged into the food. Why? Cham iktasu cham kulo. So we know that we're always choshesh, right? That's the Gemara Tzadi Zayin on the base by Kha. We're always choshesh that it's maflet keneged kulo, and therefore we are concerned that the entire spoon was maflet, its entire volume worth of blios, and this of course is a big chumra. Now, what is this idea of cham iktasu cham kulo? Where does it come from? So the Gemara Pesachim on Daf Ayin Dalad Amud Aleph says that when you roast the Korban Pesach, you may not use a shvod made out of metal. Rather, you should use a shvod made out of wood. Shvod shel rimon. Why? So the Gemara says, that's because of cham mitzas ol cham kulo. And since the Torah says tzli eish, velo tzli machmas davar acher, so if you were to use a metal skewer, what would happen essentially is that the metal skewer gets very, very, very hot. And it will cook the inside of this Korban Pesach. No metal conducts heat. And then it will turn out that the inside of the Korban Pesach will be cooked not by the fire, but by the skewer. That would invalidate the Korban Pesach. So, that is the basis for Cham Iktasu Cham Cham Kulo. Now, what does that have anything to do with us? That's just telling us that metal conducts heat, and it gets very hot, and we don't need that doesn't tell us anything about our siman. So the truth is that you could explain Rabbeinu Peretz in one of two ways. The first way to explain Rabbeinu Peretz is that Rabbeinu Peretz maintains, now how he learns this from the Gemara Pesachim is quite mysterious, we could consider that in a minute, but maintains that Cham Iktasu Cham Kulo is a din. And it's a din such that even though only half of the spoon is actually hot, right? Sure, I'm holding the spoon. If I'm holding it in my hands, it's not very hot, right? So I take this fleshig spoon that I'm holding in my hands and I dip it into milk. So even though only the bottom of the spoon actually got hot, and the top of the spoon remained cold, but its maflet, keneged its entire contents, because of this halacha of cham miktsaso cham kulo. Just like a metal conducts heat, so too it conducts blios. Blios are like electricity, and they go all around, and therefore it asers if you don't have shishim connected the entire spoon. And this is the way that the Prima Gadim and Rabbi Akiva Eger learn this this idea of Rabbeinu Peretz. Now, just one second. Parenthetically, this is not exactly the same, but the Mata Yehonasan asks an interesting question. Mata Yehonasan says, one second here. We know, let's say we paskid like the Ri. So if you have a food that's miktsaso berotev, it is maflit connected kulo, right? So, so maishna kaf.
Well, there it's hot. There it's not hot.
So if you say it like that, then it's fine. So this will go back to the question of l'chora. So Rabbeinu Peretz, the Mata Yehonasan says the machlokas is about, especially because we reject Rabbeinu Peretz, right? But we are choshish for the food. We're choshish for the reed with respect to food, but not Rabbeinu Peretz. So the Mata Yehonasan answers, well, we're talking about what's chutz above the pot. In other words, there's three levels. There is the part that's submerged, that everybody says you have to be choshish keneged kulo. There's the pot, there's the area of the spoon that's below the top of the pot, but still not submerged. I'll say the middle third of the spoon. And he says that everybody also agrees you have to be choshish keneged kulo, just like the Ri says about food. And the machlokas is about the top third. Now, I agree. But this question, l'chora, goes back to the issue of, if you remember, why it is that Taka, back in the Tzadi Beis, we assume that the milk, let's say, that lands on this piece of meat is mispashet bekulo, if, after all, for Tzli, usually you don't say that. We saw, I think, four different answers in the Rishonim, five different answers in the Rishonim. But if you hold, like, the Ran, for example, that the reason why it's mispashet bekulo is because somehow or another the Hevel, it causes something that's otherwise kachosh to be mispashi pekulo. That's sort of the Mata Yehonasan's mahalich here. But assuming, we don't say like the Mata Yehonasan. So the easiest way to answer that question is very simple, what Hudi just said, which is that if you think that the chiddush of Rabbeinu Peretz is even when it's cold, so then there's no kasha. In Siman Tzadi Hay, Tzadi Beis, we're talking about where it's hot. And everybody would agree, even if you reject Rabbeinu Peretz, everybody would agree, perhaps, that it's maflet keneged kulo when it's hot. The chiddush of Rabbeinu Peretz is when it's cold. And now, if this is true, if this massive chiddush of Rabbi Akiva Eger and the Prima Gadim Das Rabbeinu Peretz is true, so this answers up another obvious question. First of all, it explains why you're able to hold the spoon without burning your fingers. But it answers a more fundamental question, which is that l'chora, there's a big stira between Siman Tzadi Beis and Siman Tzadi Daled. Why in Tzadi Beis we clearly assume that blios swim, halach lemaisa, right? For example, if the tipas chalav is nafal shalai keneged arotev, so we say those blios swim throughout the top of the pot, and that's why you have to make sure that you wait for the pot to be cold. And not only that, but we have a chumra that we're afraid that your night it's going to shake a little bit, and then you have to asher the whole pot, except if it's Arab Shabbos. Right? So, Siman Tzadi Beis, halacha l'maisa, we definitely accept the view that blios swim. Yet, in Siman Tzadi Daled, we seem to reject Rabbeinu Peretz. The Ramah certainly doesn't pass on like Rabbeinu Peretz, and even the Mechaber L'chora doesn't pass on like Rabbeinu Peretz, the Shach says. It's quoted only as the Yesh Omer, and the Stam opinions against Rabbeinu Peretz. So, what's going on here? Why is it in Siman Tzadi Beis we assume blios don't swim? In Siman Tzadi Daled, the opposite. In Siman Tzadi Beis we assume blios do swim. And in Siman Tzadi Daled, we assume they don't swim. Now, if you learn, like Prima Gadim, and Rabbi Eger, and the like, that the Chiddush Rabbeinu Peretz is only said with respect to something that is cold, but not something that is hot, so then everything is great. Right? Simon Tzadi base talking about when it's hot. Right? When it's Nafal, Hatipa, Shaloi Kenegat Arota, we say it swims. That's talking about where the top of the pot is very, very hot, as it will always be if it's on a fire. Right? And that's why the Blio swim. So that's a very nice, a big myla of this whole explanation. Explain answers a lot of questions. But there are a lot of questions that it doesn't answer. For example, generally speaking, we don't find blios betzonein, right? The normal main rule of Yerodei is anything that's less than Yatzalot is, but you have no concern with blios. So Rabbeinu Peretz, according to this Chiddush, is saying that's not true, at least with respect to metal. Another problem is, how in the world would Rabbeinu Peretz get this idea from the Gemara Psachim, right? The Gemara Psachim is talking about a hot skewer that's cooking the inside of Karm Pesach. And Mehecha Tesi, that there's no source, there's no reasonable source for this halacha of Chamek Tesel Cham Kulo causes the blios to swim even into the tzonein part of the kli.
Maybe said it before.
Yeah, what was that?
Metal was viewed as a flowing.
Okay, great. I don't know a source for that. I don't know the source. Heat. If it's hot, it's hot.
Metal, there's no such thing as being chalak between different parts of the kli. By definition, anything that happens to one part.
How do you know that?
The other part.
How do you know that?
I
know
that heat is moving in the same way.
But the heat hasn't moved, because their whole chiddush is the top of the spoon is still cold.
How should, even if it's cold, there's still heat moving to the top of the spoon? Along with that heat, that's moving into the blios.
But it didn't get to the Atzalanis bow.
So what? That's so, an assumption of blios. So
maybe we're assuming...
No. I'm saying, but how do you know that all the source for this is Chavik Tzatzal Chav Kula, which is a Gemara Pesachim, that tells me that it gets very hot. Right? And it conducts heat, but it gets hot. You're not going to tell me that if you had a heat, you know, that there would be a problem of tzli al yidei davar acher if it remained cold.
Maybe we're assuming that the outside, if the fire is cooking the outside faster than the inside, then there's no kasha in the Gemara. I don't know the Gemara well.
I don't know what you mean by hot outside.
I mean, if it's in the fire and it's getting roasted, so then it's not going to be a problem of the acher because it's roasted by the fire. But if we are considering the metal part in the middle,
right?
So that obviously shows that it was there for only a short time before the fire was able to take over. So
I don't know what you're talking about.
You put something in a fire, so the outside is getting burnt by actual fire, right?
Good.
So we're saying that the inside,
but the inside
is being
gets
affected by
because
the metal.
Of common tussle,
it has to happen faster than the fire on the outside.
No, it just happens. It has to happen a little bit. That's all you need, and then
so it's happening with Sony.
No, it's happening with Chan.
It's not hot yet.
It's very hot.
It
conducts heat.
Happens right away. So the
who says it happens right away? It happens after 2 hours.
Minute, then it would be roasted from the outside.
It takes me 2 hours to roast my carbon Pesach, right? 5 hours to roast my carbon Pesach. Okay.
Shvod would get hotter faster.
So Lamaisa, as long as some of the cooking takes place through the Shvod, so that would be enough to make it usher. Anyway, so that's at least a difficulty with this Mahalich.
No, this is the Rosh Klisheni, meaning... The Rabbeinu Peretz, whatever the svar of heat, we always assume Yatzalot. Well, it's not even necessarily true. The transfer of heat indicates that there's something transferring alongside it. Who says that's Yatzalot? Then all of a sudden the blios are pouring forth. Transferring of heat.
I guess that's what they'll say.
Clear smell age.
That to me is all a very very big chiddush. Fine, but you're right. I'm not. Apparently, that's where Rabbi Eger and the people got him will probably have said something along those lines. Good. So the second possibility in Rabbeinu Peretz is, of course, we're talking about where it actually is hot. The spoon is hot. And there's no such thing as blios betzonein, according to this. And don't bring me a riot from how you're holding the spoon. You're using oven mitts, right? It's not a 20th century invention, l'chora. Now, the problem that we have to deal with is, what about Simon Tzadi Beis? So we will see in just 2 or 3 minutes that there are a number of ways to be miyashiv this. For example, the Magen Avraham and the Shach all give different ways to be miyashiv the stira between Tzadi Dalet and Tzadi Beis, which presumably is because they're not learning like Rabbi Chaya and Prima Gadim and the like. Okay. And, okay. Now, what about the other opinion that we don't say chamek tzas chanku, like the opinion we accept? So that opinion says, let's assume, for example, it's entirely hot. So that opinion is saying that, yeah, even though it's entirely hot, but it's only maflit from the part that's actually in contact in the food. Now, what's sort of interesting, at least if you hold this way, is that you could have imagined a middle view. Meaning to say, if you hold like the Prima Gadim or Rabbi Eger, you could have said that Rabbeinu Peretz says that it's maflit even when it's cold. And then there's a middle view. Remember, well, I don't want to say that. What's the halacha? I guess that'll depend if whether you think according to the other view it's maflit when it's out. So wait till we get there. Okay, good. If you take a look at the Gra, see an interesting thing over here. The Gra writes, again, Tzadidalet Sifkat and Vav, Raya for the Mekilim, right, the lenient position, which is the accepted position, from the Gemara in Tzadi Vav HaMavez and Zvachim, which we saw before, that according to Abaye, if you're Mevashel B'miktas Kli, you don't need, you only have to worry about the part of the Kli that you're Mevashel in, right? In other words, we assume that the blios are not mispashet b'kol akli. Right? That's the makor for the lenient view. Now, what's interesting is that that's a great pshat, except it's against the halacha, right? In other words, we are machmir, as we said in Siman Tzadi Beis, that the blios do swim. So if you think the Gemara is concluding that blios don't swim, right, so then we pass them like the smak in Siman Tzadi Beis, that blios swim, and that's why Shelo Kenegad Rotev is a problem. So according to this explanation, l'chor, there's a stira on Shulchan Aruch, right? Because again, in Tzadi Beis we say that they're nispashet l'malam and a rotev, and here we don't say that. So that's why I was very confused when I first saw the shach, this gra. The answer, though, I think is, we'll see shortly, is that you're going to have to be mechalik, according to the gra, between al yidei eish versus al yidei bishul. But I guess let's introduce that now. So I guess I shouldn't have brought that up till later. So how are you, if we don't hold of this stira, if we don't hold of the Rebbe Akiva Eger, so how are we miyashiv between Tzadi Beis and Tzadi Dalet? Right? Again, let's repeat the stira. Right? The stira is, in Tzadi Beis, we paskin like the smak, that if the tipas chala falls, shalok neged rotev, we assume that the blios are mispashet. They don't just stay where they landed, but they spread throughout the pot as far as they could possibly go. And yet, in Siman Tzadi Dalet, we reject halacha Rabbeinu Peretz, and we seem to only be concerned with the blios that are kenegad rotev. So, answer one, which I guess we considered, is if you learn like the Prima Gadim, by the way, that Prima Gadim is Sifsei Das Sifkat and Gimel, or Rabbi Akiva Eger. Rabbi Akiva Eger is on the Magen Avraham, which we'll quote in a minute, in Or Chaim. So then, there's no kasha, because we reject Rabbeinu Peretz that blios swim when cold, but we accept when the pot is hot, then we assume blios do swim around. Okay, that's maybe the easiest answer. The Magen Avraham in Taf Nun Aleph, Sif Katan Chav Dalet, gives another very easy answer. You might think the Metzias is a little strange, but he says that even though blios spread throughout, but they are not maflit throughout, right? I'll read you. De'afim tim saloma shemetchila pashat ha'eser bekulo, kemo shekasa b'yardei ha'sim tzadi beis, min kol makom lo aminan shemaflit me'oso tzad, shalom nitchav, ukemo shekasa b'sim tzadi dalet. So what does that mean? In tzadi beis, what do we say? Let's assume for a moment just that the pot's empty, right? So some chazer hits the side of the pot, so it's going to spread throughout the whole pot, right? Because to be maflet, to be nivla, when blios are nivla, when they're going inwards, they spread. However, they don't leave that way. It's like a one-way street, right? So therefore, you only have to be choshesh keneged the amount of the spoon that was actually immersed in the food. And even though the top of the spoon, right? So it's a fascinating thing. Let's imagine you took a spoon, a kosher spoon, brand new, and you dipped it into a pot of chazer. So how much of the spoon, and halfway, and assume all dippings are 50%, right? So how much of the spoon is aser? 50% or 100%? According to the Magen Avraham, how much is aser? 100%, right? But when you then take that spoon, that's 100% treif, and you put it into a kosher pot, and you only dip it in 50%, only 50% leaves, right? Presumably, the top will remain aser, it's still there. But only the bottom part leaves. And that's, I don't know why the Metzias is this way, but Azay, Dashdeit. And that would be Miyashir, Tzadi Beis and Tzadi Dalet very easily. And the Magen Avraham says that's why, even though we recommend doing Hagalah B'chol HaKli when you're kashering it, but if you don't do Hagalah, let's say, on the handle, let's imagine the handle's even a single piece. So if you don't do Hagalah on the handle and you cook food in it, B'diavet, the food's mutter. Why? Because even if the handle is full of treif of blios, or chametz stick of blios, doesn't matter. Whatever blios are in the handle, stay in the handle. And that's no problem. That is the answer to the Magen Avraham. Now, this is a little confusing, but l'chaira, the Magen Avraham is not talking about chametzas ol cham kulo. It has nothing to do with chametzas ol cham kulo, which is why he, right, because Tzadi Beis is in chametzas ol cham kulo, Tzadi Beis is talking about even a kli cheres, right? Which is not the way the Beis Hillel, which is quoted in the which is quoted by the Pesachei Teshuvah Sifkat and Gimel, understood this. And that I didn't look up the Beis Hillel, but that Pesachei Teshuvah confused me a lot, because if you think it relates to chametzas ol cham kulo, and I don't understand that. Also from Kol Chof Aleph, it doesn't sound that way. But so I'm explaining the Magen Avraham at least the way I understood the Magen Avraham. But take a look at the Pesachei Teshuvah, who might have understood it a little differently. Good. So now we have two yishuv. The third yishuv is the shach. And the shach is very bekitzer over here, but you really have to put together and the shach over here, Sifkat and Gimel, and the shach and Simen Kuf Chaf Aleph, Sifkat and Yud Zayin, to do it. Now, we'll have a chance to discuss Kuf Chaf Aleph, Bezras Hashem, in June, more about Arichos, and to appreciate this shach and really understand, really our Simen, you have to understand this machlokas between the Rashba and the Ra'ah that's discussed over there, in the Torah and the Rush and the like, and I guess we'll do what we can now without getting into the details. We're not going to really be able to do it justice now. But the shach says the following. The shach says, the Pesachei Teshuvah also, Sifkat and Gimel, points this out, that, and this, the shach agrees that not all Rishonim hold of this answer, but he thinks this is the opinion of most Rishonim. Kedarko Bakodesh, he digs up, 17 Rishonim that are of this view. Chametzas ol cham kulo cannot cause blios to swim, and certainly can't cause them to be maflet, and certainly if the top isn't cold, there's no basis for this. The idea of chametzas ol cham kulo is like the Maritz Maharam Metz points out, that if I go ahead, let's say the spoon is hot, right, because it's partially dipped in and the heat transfers. So let's imagine my hands are dirty with milk. I'm mixing a fleischer pot and the spoon got hot. So now the top part will be hot and it will be boleya, that milchic stuff that's on my hands. But it doesn't spread throughout. Chametzas ol cham kulo just means that if you're tachav b'kedera kaf b'kedera osachas, so the top of the spoon will be boleya, that which it comes in contact with. But the blios don't swim. Now, there's a shaila in the shach, which we'll get back to in a minute, which is when he says that that's true. Is that true even if the top of the spoon is cold, or even if the top, or only if the top of the spoon is hot? We'll get back to that question in a minute.
I don't understand. If it doesn't swim, how does it aser?
We're let's talk about l'halacha, not Rabbeinu Peretz. L'halacha. This is what we... Okay. Right? The Chamek Tzas L'Chan Kulo is an idea that's in the Gemara. We accept Chamek Tzas L'Chan Kulo. That's what Chamek Tzas L'Chan Kulo means.
Okay.
Now, if that's true, so what about Tzimin Tzadi Beis? Right? In Tzimin Tzadi Beis, we see that blios do swim. So how do we deal with Tzimin Tzadi Beis? Says the Shach, and this is also the Isser V'Heter, if you take a look, this is the Gra. The Taz also quotes this. If you want to look just in our Tzimin, one manifestation of this, take a look at Gra, in our Tzimin, Tzimin Tzadi Dalet, Sifkat and Vav. So the answer is that Ali de Ha'or, like Tzli, it's different. There, it could cause blios to swim. Right? And in Tzimin Tzadi Beis, we're talking about Ali de Ha'or. Because what caused the walls of this pot, the outside walls to be hot, become very hot? The fire, right? This pot is sitting ramish on the fire. So in Tzadi Beis, since the pot is sitting on the fire, so taka blio swim. And therefore, if you have a tipa shelo keneged rotev, what happens is that the tipa is mispashate. But in Tzimin Tzadi Dalet, what are we talking about? We're talking about bishul. We're not talking about alidei ha'or. So you go ahead, you dip your spoon into your fleishik spoon into the pot of milk. It's bishul. So there's no hispashtus alidei bishul. That's the yishuv. Right? Just take a look. Again, the Shach and the Taz both quote this in Tzimin Kuf Chaf Aleph, but the Gra over here quotes it in Sifkat Mav. So we'll read it together. The Svara v'chulei, in other words, he's explaining the Ramah who paskins against Rabbeinu Peretz. Da'af al-gav d'cham kulo, right, even though cham mitzasu is cham kulo, we're not denying that. Still, ein amoch molich b'liyasu b'kulo. Kein kasva poskim, v'sev hater ha'aruch kasav, de'af im omer d'molich b'liyasu b'kulo, right, even if it does, hainu al yedei ha'or. Right, which again, as the Shach says in Kuf Chaf Aleph, Dumya de Pesach. Right, after all, that's the makor for Chamek Tzas L'Chan Kulo. It's Tzli, it's Ali Dei Or. V'Ra'il Azem Mimashakas of Zvachim Tzadi Vav Amid Beis Amar Abaye Lo Tzricha V'Chule. Right, where we say that blios don't spread Ali Dei Bishul. So the answer is that there's a difference between his Pashtus Ali Dei Or and his Pashtus Ali Dei Bishul. When you go ahead and again you take the milk spoon and you dip it into the pot of meat stew, so you don't have to worry about the blios from the top of the spoon swimming and coming out of the bottom. Why? It's not chalm al yedei or it's chalm al yedei bishul. Chalm al yedei bishul, we don't have this idea of chalm tzas l'chan kulo.
That doesn't explain the ri.
Correct. The ri has nothing to do with chalm tzas l'chan kulo anyway, because it's food, it's not metal, right? Three?
So
why is it spread over there? You have to go one of the five other answers we said. Either Chalav is Mifapeya or V'chulei V'chulei V'chulei. Right, any of the five answers we said.
What does it mean that the blios are mispashim but they're nivla? They're just nivla in one
They absorbed where they land.
Not on the top, just in the bottom.
No. Chamek, so now this is very interesting because what turns out then is that according to the and Chamek Tzas L'Chan Kulo, which aren't necessarily related to each other, which is a little strange. One is that Ayde Chamek Tzas L'Chan Kulo, the blios are absorbed but remain at the top of the spoon, assuming it's hot. And two is Ayde Chamek Tzas L'Chan Kulo, when it's Chom Ayde Ha'esh, then the blios swim throughout. And there's two dinim of Chamek Tzas L'Chan Kulo. And especially, as I said before, you could clear what's the in the first chiddush that they're absorbed. He says that they're absorbed where they land, but don't spread. Is that telling me even when it's hot? Or sorry, dafka when it's hot, but if it's cold, no. So first I thought, it must be where it's cold. Because if it's hot, you don't need to come out to Chametz Chachan Kula. That's right. Anytime something is yatzal lettuce, but it's going to be boleya. So if there's a special halach of Chametz Chachan Kula that causes it to be absorbed where it landed, it must be that even when it's cold. In which case, you have two major chidushim of Chametz Chachan Kula, right? So Rabbi argued no. Rabbi said, maybe in a chanami. It doesn't, it's talking about where it is hot. And the chiddush is, that without Chametz Chachan Kula, you would have said it's like a klisheni, because it's so far removed from the fire, that even though it is Yad Zulat, it's still not Bolaya.
It's like the two pieces of, like when the Ravon's view, on when the Kibas Chol hits on the one side, so we view it as multiple
Chol. Something along those lines, exactly. Something along those lines, in which case, then at least that first Chiddush isn't such a big Chiddush, and you could say the second one as well. Now, it happens to me that the Shach's view, this is what gets confusing when you do a Siman Kuf Chaf Aleph, it's not Bedasa Mechaber. The Mechaber passes like the Rashba, who disagrees with this idea. The whole point of that Shach over there is to show how he's wrong. But again, we'll more fully appreciate this when we get to Kuf Chaf Aleph, that aspect of the Sugya. But let's just say some of the Nafkaminas between these three different ways of being Miyashev, Tzadi Beis and Tzadi Dalet. So one Nafkamina would be, let's say, if you stuck a kafshel iser, or let's say like this, you have a new spoon, and you stick it halfway down, 50% down into iser, and let's assume the whole spoon became hot, and then you flipped it, and you stuck the other thing into hatter, right? So what's going to be the halacha? So if you hold the Magen Avraham, the second pot will be aser, right? If you hold like the shach, the second half, the second pot will be mutter. If you hold like Rabbi Akiva Eger, the second pot will be aser even if it didn't get hot. The top half didn't get hot, right? Another nafkamina. Let's say, you waited for it to get hot. I guess it's an obvious nafkamina. Another nafkamina. Let's say you did libun b'miktas hakli. Because you only used miktas hakli, and then you did libun b'miktas hakli. So according to the shach, the kli would be kosher. Right? According to everybody else, it wouldn't be. Anyway.
You said that this is all the miyashi of chametz kamkula, but
well, no. In other words, that's sort of what the shach points out. And the Gar point, of course we hold of Chaim Mitzvah Chan Kula, we just don't apply, we don't accept Rabbi Peretz's understanding of the idea.
Rabbi was trying to figure out how then you could kasher like a spoon with a plastic on the top of the, or like a knife where it has like a kind of a handle.
Right.
Because it covers the metal.
Right. Mm. In other words, assuming the metal goes deeper in.
Yeah, and like
metal.
So
what's the problem? Right, so exactly. So we'll talk about that when we do Havala, but you're correct. That those could be nafkaminas. And then, of course, you have the view of the Machlokas Rashban Ra, which is, well, if it got in that way, could it got out that way? But okay, we'll wait till we get there, I guess. The Gra has two Mahalchim here. One in Kuf Chaf Aleph and one in Or Chaim Tafnun Aleph, which are both very interesting, but we don't have time to do them, right? We don't have time. Now, I guess I'll just make the Hara, but we're not going to get into this now. First of all, this gets back to our favorite discussion about whether there are Blios Bitzonein, right? So clearly, if you learn like the Prima Gadim Gevigir, like at least they exist. The scope maybe is unclear, and again, if you learn like the Magen Avraham and the Shach and the like, there's no evidence that they exist over here. And there's more to say. Yeah, depending on how you learn the Shach, right? Yeah. Another interesting point, again, we don't have time to point out, but that relates to that, is if we go back to Simen Tzadi Ches, I think we made this Ha'ar when we did it, but we didn't really appreciate it. So I'll just read you what the Torah says over there. The Torah says, Lefikach, Hamivashel b'kderas iser shehi bas yoma o tochev kaf shel iser beheter v'chia gavna b'basar b'chalav tzarach shishim neged kol akderah. So if you cook in a Kedera shel Isser, how much you need? Shishim Keneged Kol HaKedera. Sounds like what? Even if the Kedera is only half full. Ukeneged Kol Masha Tachav Me'akaf. She'ein Yodin, Einan Yodin Kama Balu. Lo Shnahin Shel Cheres, O Shel Eitz, O Matachas. V'Rabbeinu Peretz Hichmir Bekaf, Shel Matachas, Latzvish Shishim Keneged Kulo. Because Chamak Sasulchan Kulo. So what's he saying? When you cook in a pot, again, let's say the pot's halfway full, you need shishim keneged how much? The entire pot. When it comes to a spoon, so you need shishim only keneged the amount that was submerged. Unless you hold like a Rabbeinu Peretz and it's metal, then you need shishim keneged the kulo. Right? So why is it that the pot and the spoon are treated differently? Right? So the answer is two possibilities. If you learn like Rabbi Akiva Eicher, Prima Gadim, it's very simple. And Prima Gadim makes that point over there in Sif Katan Yud Zayin, in Sif Se Das, Sari Ches. If you learn like Prima Gadim, very simple. We reject Rabbeinu Peretz with respect to cold, but we accept that Blios and Platos swim when it's hot. So when the pot is hot, right, presumably any pot that's on the fire is going to be entirely hot. So therefore, what's the halacha? You'll always need shishim keneged the entire pot, not just the amount of keneged the rotev, right? But the entire thing. Why? Because the whole pot gets hot, and even though we reject Rabbeinu Peretz, everybody agrees that Blio swim, and it'll answer it. Oh. You could also be miyashiv if you learn like this, if I had to grashach and the like. That because the outside of the pot becomes hasser through esh, so therefore the platos will swim. Whereas in terms of the spoon, so that becomes hot al yidei bishel, and if we only need keneged the amount that's submerged, assuming again we reject Rabbeinu Peretz. According to Magen Avraham, I suppose you have to say it's lav dafka. So that will have to be it for today. Hopefully we'll have Nisim on Wednesday. And finish it inside of God.
Not going to stop.
Exactly.